Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, January 5th, 2010.
And I think that I'm undeserving of this pain that has come once again. For I've given more than my share now, and Father, it seems so unfair how I feel left alone. You promised me I'd never go through this alone, to hold to your hand and I'd make it through the unknown. And on the other side of tomorrow, somewhere beyond this day, life will be looking much better if I'll hold on to you, come what may. I know you're near, so I'll have no fear that you'll all my tears wipe away. As I reach out to you, please carry me through and protect my tomorrows today.
Well, that was The Other Side of Tomorrow from Now and Then, Matthew Grieve's second solo CD. The Guelph area musician has had a varied music career, from the Unashamed Quartet to his season to solo work, and now the trio with the trio Valiant. Matthew's on the phone with us from his Guelph home to talk about music and ministry. Good evening, Matthew.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. Now, when did you start singing?
You know, that's a great question. I remember at about 3 years old, driving along in a big van. I was the oldest of six kids, and before the seatbelt days, I remember sitting in between those two bucket seats at the front and with my mom and dad, and they were always singing. They traveled all over the country doing a lot of music together, and they were like wanting to get me to sing a song with them, and I was, I guess, able to find some harmonies in that song, and they were pretty amazed at, like, just, you know, I think at 3 or 4 years old that I was singing harmony, and they wanted me to, so I became a little piece of the equation. They started dragging me up and having me sing with them as they traveled around. So that's kind of, I think, how it started.
So when you got into that, when did it sort of take off into being more than just like this little? I've seen family groups doing that. You know, here's the little kid who's really cute and will sing "Jesus Loves Me" and everybody claps. And when did it move from that kind of phase to, hey, this is serious and this is something I really think God wants me to do?
You know what? If I was being very honest, I mean, when you're that age, you're just, you know, you look up to your parents, and of course, you know, I remember getting a little bit older and not really liking it. I was a pretty shy guy, honestly, and it was sort of like they were pulling me up to do this, you know, I remember going in through my teenage years and just being like, oh my gosh, this is so not cool. I don't want to be singing at all, and uniquely enough, it just sort of went through some of those stages, actually, the opposite way. So it wasn't until, you know, years later, like back till when I was, I guess, you know, 16 years old or 17 years old, when I heard a guy singing on an album called A Few Good Men, named Michael English, and I'm like, you know what, if that's Christian music, I don't mind that, you know, mm-hmm. because it was very, I was very strict in my upbringing and what I was allowed to listen to, and I thought that guy was amazing. So I think he was sort of a major catalyst as to why I decided, listen, I like music, and then I don't know that I ever, in those early years, decided that this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, but it was sort of like I did make a lot of decisions all the way through my later teen years to choose music instead of other things, and I think God's sort of honored those decisions as I look back on my life now at this point, so.
Well, looking back on that and looking at where you came from, was it just singing? Did you get into doing any instrumental stuff as well at the same time, or has it always just been primarily vocals?
You know what?
Vocals?
I look back and I would have loved to have said that I did, and I so many of my other brothers and sisters actually took piano lessons, and I kind of fought it and did not want to do that. I was a little bit older, obviously, as the oldest child, and didn't do it. And I look back and go, oh, with such regret, I wish I did. So, no, I have never I've never played any instruments. I have had a pretty good year to be able to find harmonies and to be able to fill in the gaps wherever I needed it to. And I think it's suited me well through those years, I guess.
So now you've went from that and you talked about getting into your later teen years and hearing Michael English and that. Where did you get and how did you get involved with the Unashamed Quartet?
That's a great question. I've been attending a Christian academy pretty much from kindergarten to grade 12, they didn't have a ton of programs based on the fact that my graduating class would actually be like three people, myself and one of the guys that would be with the Unashamed Quartet, and a girl that actually would play with us for the Unashamed Quartet. So he had just been fooling around at school, and it was as I said, I was about 16 and just starting to like the music a little bit more, and they had a rule that based on the fact of the kind of school that it was, that we had to go out at recess, I believe it was three times a day, right in the winter even as well. And as we're getting older in high school, it was even more like, are you kidding me? But we had found this little loophole that they didn't mind if we stayed in and sang or practiced singing, that we didn't have to go out. So it just became a way that four of us just thought, well, we put this little quartet together. They'd had us done a special song for one particular event. So we began to just work on some of these songs at the recess time, and it really did stop us from having to go out. And uniquely enough, what happened is, we'd sing at like one church, and then another church would hear about us, and another church would hear about us. And very quickly what had happened is we'd sort of become a very actively booked group without ever once, in all the years, I believe it was with Unashamed for 10 years, we never picked the phone up one time to get a booking. It just sort of happened. We were at 17, the four of us, we would win our first year that we entered ourselves in at the CGMAs. We won Group of the Year, the Torchman that had won, mm-hmm. I think, for almost a decade straight. I would win Male Vocalist of the Year and would win that for the next 5 years at the CGMAs. So it sort of happened. It was just a roller coaster.
And in terms of doing that, what were some of the other music you mentioned Michael English, what were some of the other musical influences that you would have had around that time?
You know what's so interesting is that I love so many different styles of music, but I still have a special place in my heart for some of the old Southern gospel music stuff that, uniquely enough, I don't sing anymore. I mean, there's always harmonies in what we do, but it's probably closer towards like a Phillips Craig and Dean or a Rascal Flatts, the direction that we're heading. But I loved the old Cathedrals was something that I had grown up with. I could probably sing every one of their songs off by heart. Gold City and, I mean, the Kingsmen, anybody that was involved at the time in Southern gospel music back in the mid 80s on, I probably know them well.
Yeah. What we need to do is take a quick break, and when we come back we'll be talking more with Matthew Grieve and continue our conversation about music. I'm your host Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
I've been to the edge of my own strength, and I felt control slipping away. There lay a hopeless horizon, for the skies of my life had turned gray. And I felt all alone in that valley, and darkness distorted my view. And then through the tears of my sorrow, I heard a whisper, and Lord, it was you. And you said, trust in me, and soon circumstances seem hopeless, and you feel like you just can't go on. Cause you're in your darkest till midnight, and you don't think you're lost to
till the dawn. Well, Carl's not forgotten about you. Your questions he has answers to. So look to the face of the Father. Just listen, he's calling to you. He's saying, trust in me, and soon you'll see the sun will rise tomorrow, for that's your destiny. 'Cause I've got plans for you. I'm gonna see them through. So hold on, child, come what may, things look better in the light of day.
Welcome back to Artist Connection. You've been listening to Trust in Me from Matthew Greaves' CD Now and Then. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Matthew. You talked just earlier, just before we went to break, about the styles and doing some Southern gospel stuff, doing some stuff in terms of harmonies. And as I look at it, you know, from Unashamed to His Season and now with Valiant, you've always been involved in groups that specialize in vocal styling, strong harmonies. What drew you to that particular style of music?
You know what? I think basically the upbringing that I had, the influences that I would be always listening to that had such strong harmonies in it. You know, uniquely enough, I see some of the successful groups that have come and gone now, but groups like NSYNC and Backstreet Boys and a lot of these groups that I think people just really, really have loved and been drawn to. Boys to Men, they're drawn to these strong harmonies that I had just sort of grown up with. You know, being able to easily find them, and you know, I think. I am a soloist. I do some work on my own, but I truthfully just enjoyed a lot of the travel and the camaraderie of having other people there with you, other people that you're winning with, you know, and some of the successes. So I've always positioned myself around a team, probably based for those reasons.
Well, the other thing is, too, is when you look at it, especially with Unashamed and now Valiant, there's something about male harmonies. I don't know what it is. I sit back and you listen to it, and there's just... It's there's something that's actually visceral when you hear a good soprano, alto, tenor, bass, baritone coming out of a group of guys. Is that something?
Yeah, I have to agree with you. You know, I mean, again, and I have been in a group with a girl, and we had extremely strong harmony there with His Season for years, and I, you know, we worked really hard on our talent, probably had some of our greatest successes in that group, but I do think back in a trio again with three solid guys that can sing, there is something special about that. I heard a guy explaining about quartet music the other day to me, and he said, you know what, it's like a wall of sound, and I'm like, yeah, I guess you know what it sort of is, and it's a yeah, something special for sure.
Well, you mentioned Phillips, Craig, and Dean. I mean, and some of the vocal songs there. Again, you look at that and you listen to the harmonies and you listen to that, and there's just something involved in. I don't know. It's really hard to explain. You just have to sit back and listen to it and just enjoy it and experience it.
You know what? I think it's so interesting. We can try to get our head around what it exactly really is, but could you imagine a world without music? I mean, God could have built a gorgeous world like he did with the amazing sunshine and the nature and all the stuff that he did and had no music involved in it. But I mean, he built it, and it's, I think that's the reason that man's so drawn to it. It's just this amazing thing that we can't get our head around, but it passes through all the boundaries of language and race. And I can listen to some stuff sometimes that I have no clue what the words even are, and it just can give you goosebumps. Isn't that amazing, eh?
Yeah. Well, you listen to what Paul Simon did when he started bringing over some of the South African musicians, and the harmony you got out of those on some of his albums out of the 80s. Again, it was that just that sound that was there and visceral.
Totally right.
Yeah.
True.
And one of the things I noticed is I was looking at some of the credits on some of the CDs that you worked on. You've tried your hand at songwriting. What drew you to the whole songwriting process?
You know what? It's not like I ever just said, I'm going to sit down and write a song. My mom and dad were telling me, uniquely enough, again the other day at like 3 or 4 years old again, as I would be sitting in the back seat and they'd be hearing me singing away and singing some song. Oh, where'd you hear that? And I guess I just wrote it. I just made it up. I remember doing that a lot when I was young, but I would never ever write it down, so I never remember the words. So years later, I would just, you know, something would just pop into my head, and as soon as it did, I would sit down and quickly try to write it down as fast as I could. I mean, some of those ones that have already been played today have come to me just in like, you know, within 10 minutes, the whole song. And sometimes in some of the deepest situations of my life, I believe the last one, Trust in Me, that we were just listening to there, was at a time when I was a younger man. I think I was 24 years old, and my daughter Hannah was born with 4 holes in her heart, and it was a really, really scary time for myself and for my wife, and just going through that and in some desperation just writing that song that, you know, trust in me and soon you'll see, you know, the joy comes in the morning. And to see how my daughter's been totally healed and how you know, just the grace of God in our lives, we're blessed. You know, these songs come out of real life experiences.
Now, looking at the songwriting process for you, and you mentioned earlier that you didn't take the opportunity to get into an instrument in that. With you in that process, is it words or music that comes first, or how does it work?
You know what? It's often they sort of come together because I don't play an instrument. You know, I sort of have a tune, and the tune, you know, I'm writing the song to the tune that I'm coming up with as I'm going. I don't know if that's probably the smartest way to do it. It's the way that I have sort of done it over the years.
So in terms of writing the tune, are you doing sheet music? How you working all that?
No, I couldn't read one bit of music on a page. So it's just literally a tune that I will make up in my head, and I will then have tune and words by the time I'm done, and then I would bring that to somebody else that's skilled enough to be able to convert that into music that you would eventually be hearing. So.
Great. Well, listen, we need to take another quick break, and when we do, again, we're going to come back and with our guest, Matthew Grieve, and we're going to talk about your latest project, Valiant. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Excuses behind in the past. It's a new day and I'm taking my stand. I'm making the choices that last. Old things behind me and all things made new. My failures forgotten, now I'm looking to you. I want to run the race before me with Jesus at the wheel. I want to honor him completely. No matter how I feel, I want to give my wife and family the man that they deserve. I want to die to selfishness in me. I want to live my I've fallen so often before, attempts of a life lived for me. I know that there's got to be more for me, Lord. I need to be free. Take all I
Connection. You've been listening to It's a New Day from the soon-to-be-released self-titled CD, Valiant. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Matthew Grieve. Can you tell us about Valiant?
Well, you know what? I'm really excited about the group that I'm in. Uniquely enough, and we're, as was already mentioned, we're total of three guys. We've all grown up in music. Myself, as has already been mentioned, Jeff Harden, he's a phenomenal piano player, one of the best that you'll ever meet. He is actually one of the five Roland keyboard specialists that travels all over Canada. So he's quite good at his piano playing. His dad is Tim Harden, who has sung with the Watchmen for 40-something years. Jeff as well has grown up from a very young man. In fact, I remember attending Temple Baptist Christian Academy with him back in grade 3 and remembering as another young guy, he was one of those guys that could sing harmonies, and he had no problem singing them out loud, and everybody, all these other kids would be looking at him going, what's this kid doing? And so Jeff and I have known each other for a long time, and then recently we've had a new addition to the group, a gentleman named D.W. Crutchfield. He comes originally from Florida, and he's sung in a group called the Crutchfields with himself and his wife as they travel a lot over Canada. In fact, he grew up as a younger man as well, singing with his family in Florida. So we've all sort of grown up with this heritage of good gospel music in our lives, and you know, I just love the character of the two gentlemen that I'm with. They're just solid believers, and you know, we have a great time together. We're really excited about a project that we have just put together finally, and you know, we're just believing God has some great things planned for the music that we have put on the CD.
Yeah, you mentioned about Jeff Harden, and you know, when I saw that, and I'm wondering if he was related to Tim Harden, because it seemed to be too coincidental. Now, how did you get involved with the group? Who was sort of the catalyst in pulling all these three people together?
Well, you know what? Actually, my brother Nathan has been a major part of my groups all over the years, from the Unashamed Quartet. He was sort of doing a lot of the background work with that, you know, sort of managing and bookings and any background like of the art that you would have ever seen on our websites and design work from that group, and then later with his season. And so it was sort of a transition that myself and my brother decided, you know, we should continue on. And when his season was coming to a close, you know, he was a major part of that with me. And you know, Jeff Harden and I had been friends for a long time, and so I knew Jeff would be one of those guys, and I called him up. And then, uniquely enough, we had another friend of mine that had been singing with me back, you know, years ago. His name was Rodney Hamilton, phenomenal vocalist out of Sarnia, based on his family situation and having now five kids, and the, you know, where he lives, it's just such a drive that he wasn't able to commit to the future. So, you know, we were able to release him and look at DW. So I guess that's sort of been the way that it's come together. But it was right out of his season, and we were already planning to head out and be another group. So
now this has been, you know, going back down to Shame, this is back in your teens. I mean, this has been, you know, a couple of decades. Now, what have you learned from?
Say that out loud. That's
yeah, I know. Suddenly, all are going, oh wow, that ages me. But looking at all of that, what have you learned from your past experiences that are really going to give you a hand in helping with Valiant?
You know what? I think I've learned a little bit more just to be patient. You know, I think when you're young, there's so many opportunities and things that you're trying to do and things that you could achieve, and thinking that if you can just make it to this level, you know, you'll have success. And what does that mean? What is defining success? Uniquely enough, we had a chance with my previous group to his season to sing at the White House in Washington, D.C. We've, you know, I've had some great mountaintop experiences from opening up for people like Franklin Graham and Ravi Zacharias and a lot of like top-end acts from the Southern Gospel end of things. I had a chance a little while back to sing with a couple of my heroes, Guy Penrod and Marshall Hall, and you know, As you see all of this stuff and you start to think about a lot of the groups that I do know that I'm working with regularly, they're traveling like nonstop, crazy, all over the place. And, you know, when does that ever end? You know, for us, I think the real win and the thing that I've learned is what's so, so important is your family. And you know, I have two awesome kids, Hannah, who's 11, and Gabriel, who's 7, and a wonderful wife named Sandra that has been so supportive of my career. And you know what? If I've learned anything, it's if you have a happy home, you know, everything else will sort of just work together. And I know the guys that I sing with are 100% in agreement with that. So we're putting our families first. And if that means that, you know, we're doing probably a lot less than we used to do, but we're content and happy and believing that God will bless that.
And I know from the past when I've talked to other musicians and people that are on the road quite frequently and doing stuff, is always that challenge of being centered and remaining centered in where God wants you to be, because it can get to be so easy to do the work of the music. It's keeping that spiritual focus. How do you do that yourself? What are some of the things you do to keep yourself focused spiritually where you need to be?
Well, you know what I've really found is that, you know, I get a lot of time as I commute back and forth from the job that I have, and one of the things that I have found has been very useful for me is some of the podcasts and things that I can get of regularly, some amazing preaching and just being able to keep myself focused, because life does get so busy, and I can relate to that more than ever have before with the career that I am. I also work for World Vision Canada as the artist relationship manager there, so many of our different acts and bands. I was just on the road with Paul Brandt and then with Peter Furler and heading out, you know, something possibly coming up with Third Day. So it's just life gets so busy. So if I take advantage of all those in-between times, and again, a great pastor that I just love his teaching is a gentleman named Leon Fontaine from Springs Church there in Winnipeg and Calgary. So that's something that I've found has been a great centering point for me.
Great. Now, you've also got, Valiant has just put together a CD. What sort of led to getting into the studio and actually doing that?
You know what? From my experiences, again, we've been together for about maybe 2 years. And, you know, I mean, it's been a lot of people going, when is the CD coming out? And we just were making sure that we had the money in the bank to pay for the CD that we would do. And that's one of the other things that I have learned over the years is, don't spend money that you don't have, even with the best opportunities in front of you. So we had decided, you know, when we get that money. So the unique part is that we have had a lot of time to think about the songs we're going to put on, a lot of songs that we've been actually doing in concert ourselves, and you know, I think it's an eclectic little group of songs, from some old hymns and a cappella songs to songs we've written ourselves and modern worship songs of today. It's that's sort of where we're at, and we're really, really excited about this coming out here. We believe it should be in our hands here in January.
Great. That was my next question, was when are you going to have it? So where can listeners find out more about both your music and the stuff that you're doing with Valiant?
You know what? I would suggest the best way to check that out is our website, which is called ruvaliant.com, as in the question, are you valiant? And that is spelled ruvaliant.com. And that's, you can get a lot of different videos of us and sort of see our scheduling. We have a brand new awesome website that my brother's put together, and I'm excited about people seeing it.
Great. Well, Matthew, thanks very much for your time today.
No problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Matthew Grieve. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries.ca, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.